Hello, my name is Reese Christensen, and this is the story of how anger played a big role in my marriage, divorce, recovery, and life after divorce. My marriage. I was married in 1990 to a beautiful Southwest flight attendant that I dated for 5 years. We had kids in 1992, 94, and 96. I was depressed and angry for much of my marriage because I thought that the whole world should revolve around me and my needs. My depression and anger often manifests itself in one of my explosions, after which I felt better, but the whole earth and the people around me were scorched. I became a believer in 2004 after reading Lee Strobel's book, Case for Christ. I realized that my house was built on sand instead of on the rock. I started to walk a narrower path, but was still having problems at home. After yet another alcohol-related incident and a 20-plus year string of similar incidents, I planned an alcohol intervention for my wife. She found out about it and filed for divorce in September of 2007. My divorce. I was sued for sole custody and supervised visitation. Although I'd been involved in every aspect of my kids' lives, including every trip to the doctor when my wife was pregnant, coaching 20 seasons of youth sports, including soccer, baseball, and hockey, and being the leader of 22 Boy Scouts, I was now being treated like a child molester. That made me angry. I was required by the court to establish another residence while I continue to pay all expenses associated with the marital residence, expenses associated with my wife's lifestyle, and even child support on top of that. That just didn't seem fair, and that too made me angry. I was accused of being a liar, a cheat, and of hiding assets. I was accused of physically and verbally abusing my children and even of breaking into my own house. I was barraged with endless emails, motions in court, and countless personal attacks. Dallas Police and Child Protective Services were called on me 3 times, although multiple investigations resulted in no charges being filed against me. At one point, all of my real estate commissions were frozen, and I was denied money for food, for clothing, housing, and even money to visit my dad, who's dying of heart failure. I was completely tapped out of money after a year of litigation, and I was evicted from the very residence that the court had required me to establish. This started 13 months of homelessness, where I used my SUV as a closet and couch surfed with friends. During this time, 2 of my kids were suicidal, and I even walked in on one of my kids that was pressing a knife into their chest. In court, the litigation drug on, even after several rounds of arbitration and attempts on my part to more than reasonably settle the case. Even my attorneys dumped me after I couldn't come up with more money to try the case. I got so angry at my wife's attorney that I bowed up on him and yelled at him in the halls of the George Allen Courts building in downtown Dallas. I secretly fantasized about beating his brains out with a big concrete contractor's shovel. It was temporary insanity. The divorce ended after an agonizing 28-month period of litigation that required over 2 dozen trips to court and almost $300,000 in legal fees. What a colossal waste of time and money and damage to my kids, to my wife, and to me. I'd lost the ability to see my kids every day, to give them hugs and kisses, to watch them grow and change, and to be a part of their everyday lives. I'd lost a wife, a confidant, a lover, a partner, a best friend, my identity, my home, and my family. My emotional boat was so full that any negative drop, no matter how small or insignificant, would sink me. My anger was again coming out in outbursts with my children, and in a total lack of patience with them. And this was at a time when they needed my love and patience more than ever. Man, was I angry. My recovery. A good friend handed me a copy of the Watermark News in early 2008 and told me about divorce care. I went to Watermark and divorce care for the first time a few days later, and it was like walking into a group hug. I was immediately greeted, befriended, and comforted. I learned that nothing that I had experienced was unique to my divorce, and that many of the participants and leaders there had similar stories. My faith and the support of the divorce care staff and leaders helped me to start to understand and grieve what I had lost and heal from all the anger and bitterness that I was feeling. I dove into God's Word 5 or 6 times a day. I had to trust in His provisions, promises, and guidance because nothing I was doing on my own was working. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to anger, but a wise person quietly holds it back." Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." Paul told us in Romans 12:17-18, "Never pay back evil for evil. As it stands with you, be at peace with all men and even women." After reading these passages, I realized that most of my verbal conversations with my wife, now ex-wife, didn't end well. So for the past 2 years, most of my communications have been short and factual via email or text. I learned not to respond immediately to my ex's messages, especially the ones that I was getting at 1 or 2 in the morning. I usually have a Christian friend or community group brother screen my response for anything that could be interpreted as mildly inflammatory or sarcastic. James 3:6 states, "The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn your whole life into a blazing flame of destruction because it is set on fire by hell itself." Wow. A huge thing that I learned during this whole process was that if I prayed for people long enough, namely my ex-wife and her attorney, that I just couldn't stay angry at them for very long. After about 2 months of daily prayer for their salvation and for the softening of their hearts, it was actually my heart that began to soften. I began to feel sorry for my ex-wife and for her attorney, who had participated in over 2,600 divorces in his career. I discovered that there are only two paths in life, bitterness or forgiveness. I learned that forgiveness isn't a feeling, it's an act of will. And I experienced the amazing freedom that only Christ can bring through allowing me to forgive and to let go of my anger. I was beginning to feel, after so much agony, loss, grief, and anger, that Jesus was taking the broken and sharp shards of my old life and making them new again, just as He promises in Revelation 21:5. My life after divorce. I have 3 teenagers now that are all attending the same high school. I'm happy to report that none of them are suicidal and that they're adapting to life after divorce. I've now been through divorce care twice as a participant and twice as a leader. I've become passionate about helping to disciple men that are going through various stages of separation and divorce. I've been a Watermark member for a little over a year and belong to a community group of single dads. Some are out here in the audience. For the first time in my life, I'm being held accountable for my thoughts, words, and actions. So, is everything coming up roses now that I'm trying to lead this Christ-centered life? No. I still deal with anger every day. But what I've learned is that no matter how righteous my anger may be, if I blow up, the attention will be focused on me and my response and not on the transgression. I can be right, but the nature of my response can be so wrong. I certainly have been guilty of not rebuking in love. And selfish pride and fear have been the root of much of my anger in both my marriage and in my divorce. Galatians 5:19 says, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce evil results. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, and other kinds of sin. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit: love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. But I now look back and can see that my divorce, the greatest disappointment and failure of my life, has also yielded the greatest blessings. I can honestly say that I would repeat all of the horrors of that experience to get back to where my relationship is with the Lord today. This past summer, while praying with some people down at the courthouse that were experiencing separation and divorce, I saw my ex-wife's attorney. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to approach him and to ask for His forgiveness for my inappropriate and threatening behavior. I asked Him to forgive me, and He did. I've apologized to my ex-wife for my failures as a boyfriend, a husband, and a father. Do I still get angry? Absolutely. But I've also learned that being God's Word every day and spending quiet time with Him is crucial to keeping me calmer. If I didn't spend time every day in my red chair with my black Bible, I'm much more likely to head down the anger trail. I've learned that there are only three things that I really need in this world: Christ, His Word, and His people. So, if there's hope for me after experiencing all of the horrors of separation and divorce, and even homicidal levels of anger, there's hope for you as well. I've seen hundreds of people here going through divorce care at Watermark. Those that have completed the course are absolutely closer to Christ, less angry, and much farther down the road to healing than when they first arrived. The staff and leaders here can help to lead you to the only one who offers healing and lasting hope. I thank God for demolishing my mountain range of bitterness and anger, and for replacing it with an oasis of His peace and joy. Philippians 4:13 says, "All things are possible through Christ, who gives me and you strength." Thanks for listening, and God bless you.